hold them in our hearts, then all who have gone before us, and especially the God we worship in Jesus Christ, is honored and glorified. Two congregations, First Ferris and Glendale Oak Cliff, which I regularly serve, shuffled their February calendars. And raise your hand if you think Presbyterians change easily. So we are feeling the love for the Holloman's and for our loved ones that we remember when we gather in this place. Too many people today have loved ones who hunger. So we have one announcement that I know of for sure.
Thinking about how when he was feeding the crowds, when he only had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and they said, "Well, this is all we have." And he said, "Well, go get it. Go start passing it out because I will make it abundant." And I feel like this is really what this is all about. He went out and he said, "Oh, what is a couple of hands?" And then he made it abundant.
About grocery stores coming together with other institutions for the Super Bowl. And I'm okay admitting I thought to myself, that was a Presbyterian idea. So even when we know ours is a small but certain and powerful role in all of God's goodness, it is to God we give great thanks and glory. We gather this morning singing "Praise Ye the Lord the Almighty." It's found on page 36. Please stand for our processional hymn. Or were there other announcements? Oh, okay. Or you could, sing the actual hymn on page 35. Please, yeah. Please stand.
Thank you. We gather to worship God, whose creative imagination never fails. We gather to praise God, whose steadfast love never weakens.
For the sake of Jesus, who lived
for all who have fallen. We gather to offer our best to God, who walks with us through eternity.
For the sake of the Holy Spirit, who will walk through you.
With thanksgiving, we gather to worship our triune God. You may be seated. It is in the desert moments of our lives when we realize how we have failed to love, to act, to be God's children. May we remember that Jesus comes not only praying for us, but holding us, mending us, sending us out as new people. We come to God speaking of those things we would rather forget, but in doing so, hearing the words of God's healing and hope through Christ. Please join together in the prayer of confession.
No matter how many times it is said, it bears repeating. God loves us. God forgives us. God heals us. God restores us to new life. Thanks be to God who fills us with grace and then sends us out to proclaim the gospel to others.
Pray with me, please. God of generation to generation, by your Holy Spirit, help us to proclaim the wondrous things that you have done and continue to do in our lives. Give us strength and courage to share the good news of your love and your presence. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 21 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out their hosts and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Mark's gospel is considered one of the earliest. Imagine, if you will, that very real grief and not only a little fear. that the words he wrote would reveal his need and his conviction and his passion and his grief. That the knock on his door would be his death. From chapter 1, found in the New Testament section of your pew Bible, we turn to verses 29 through 39. This is the word of our Lord from Mark's Gospel. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. And the disciples told Jesus about her at once. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve those present. That evening at sundown, the disciples brought to Jesus all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. Well, Jesus cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because those demons, they knew Jesus. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Simon and his companions hunted for him, and when they found Jesus, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that's what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, O Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand.
Thank you. Sherry's box is gone. I used to feel so tall, but I'm still somewhat higher than normal. What I want you to know is that God speaks to us from on high, and God's word is very real and holy and full of love from within and around and among us. When I was in seminary, I had the opportunity to travel to the Holy Land. And I was very determined that no one would know I was nervous. I was a small town girl who really had not traveled, and I thought there were three food groups: steak, potato, dinner roll. That's it. So, as much as my faith was every breath I breathe, I've been asthmatic from way before I knew why I couldn't breathe. And as much as I get it when Jesus opens your eyes, because I really am legally blind and I really am very stubborn, was as a small child, still am today. The Holy Land was beyond my comfort zone. And one of the sights we saw was the Sea of Galilee. And the wind comes in and the waves crash in a heartbeat, just the way Scripture says. And the mount where Jesus gave the Beatitudes, blessed are we who are mourn and are meek and all those things, is surrounded by a plain. We hear about it twice in Scripture. Someone on the plain, someone on the mount. And the acoustics are great. I gave some one-liner per the world according to Polly that someone beneath me heard. I heard their laughter. I am so honored to be with you this morning. And I love y'all. I have for 20 years. But what I hope most is that no matter where we are, somehow in our worship, God is glorified and a word from God received. Thank you for inviting me in then and today. I know Mark was scared. I know that Isaiah text we heard was spoken to people who could not predict their future. And let's see if there's anything timely about their circumstance. They were refugees, exiles in a foreign land, being returned to their homeland they did not know. This is not, in my opinion, as much a political pulpit as it is a powerful place for all who are hurting. I now live in my hometown, yet I returned to a place I did not know. It had grown and welcomed families that had never heard of me, my sisters, my parents, and that's fine, that's understandable. But it makes no sense to my 83-year-old mother. I walk into a restaurant with her on my arm, and she graciously grins and waits for the community to remember the love of her life. But they never met Daddy. They don't know he fought three kinds of cancer for 15 years, and on the moment of sunrise, June 29th, 2012, he was called home. And I think it was sunrise, because as a physician and a farmer, he understood seasons, and he was about a new chance and a new day, full of joy and love. He was one of those Christians
that believed all of the optimistic things that Scripture teaches. And there's nothing wrong with that. But to me, it's incomplete. I will never know why he was given so many daughters who love him dearly, but we are a little more realistic. From my mother's side, we get depression. And sometimes we want to sit and have it acknowledged that circumstance is not okay. Every now and then, despite my southern upbringing, when you ask me how I am not okay. November 2017 would be an example. My bright and beautiful niece Maggie, at 30 years of age, 3 years married, lost her battle with depression. Briefly, her dark one. And 3 days later, a cousin we desperately needed, who we thought still had decades on this good earth, had a tear in his aorta. And just as God's love and Christ's teachings and sacrifice on the cross are very life-giving to us, so his heart needed that blood. In an instant, he was gone. So I'm in this season of my life, having been called into ordained ministry, where I only serve part-time, but I grieve full-time. And I know that I spend too much time on social media when I should be about making a difference in other ways. And the reason I bring it up is I'm even on LinkedIn. I have no full-time job. My professional resume says, is old and lives with mother. Through it, my beautiful, kind of silver blonde-haired friend named Ashley, who just is taller than sunlight and married later than any of the rest of us. So we are 50. Which makes her daughter 10. She found me on LinkedIn. And I have like 2 connections. And when I called her thinking, you're in your hometown, you love reconnecting with your roots, you will catch up with your friend Ashley. Our time to catch up was done. I'm not kidding. She said, my cancer is winning, and my daughter needs you. So in November, I lost Maggie, Mike, and Ashley. And I consider myself rich beyond measure because I was an aunt to an amazing person. And my cousin left me my whole life. And my friend wants her daughter to know me. Life is good, and God is good, especially when we are sad. This word comes to us in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And in the seasons of our life, I cannot say how each of the Holloman family members feel this morning, but I boldly pray they know they are not alone. I boldly pray they celebrate the way that Mrs. Holloman touched their lives and inspired them to be bold and beautiful and not listen to the world out there that will probably tell you you're aging, or you get it wrong sometimes, or that the world is a scary place, because it is. It is. As I wondered If short, brown-eyed Southern girls could really be called into ministry 20 years ago, one of my dear friends came out with an interesting observation. "Oh, Polly," she said, "I could never do that. You probably will have to go into hospital rooms and be at people's bedside as they die." And I said, "Yes, I've heard that might come with the territory." And she said, "Well, I could never. My heart is just too big." And Ashley and my other friends that were there, we all, with our Southern hearts and minds, tried to wonder if there was a compliment in that criticism. And God put on my heart, thank goodness, from an early age, my parents and loving their parents taught me to enter those sacred spaces with the heart and the love and the convictions of my Lord and Savior. You are right. If I only went in with Polly's heart, I would put my foot in my mouth or simply cry or feel so powerless. And my friends, there is amazing power in the truth of Scripture's promises. And there's amazing truth to how healing and renewing it is to worship and to be sent. We love because we are first loved. We are fed because we're called to feed. When I first considered this morning's gospel reading, I thought, where's the gospel in this? Of course, you know, she's female. She's a mom. I mean, you don't get to lay around and be sick in bed. You've got to serve. And it wasn't historical gender expectation. It was joy. It was gratitude. It was strength and passion and kindness and compassion when your cup overflows. And at any season of your life, you can't do other than give thanks to God above. Then to remember that your need is as holy as any opportunity to serve, as anything you do well. I grew up capable of putting a smile on my face and tap shoes on my feet, and on occasion, I had rhythm. I grew up loving the stage and thinking that just being up there would make me tall and probably beautiful. But the roles I played were a mask. And when I was called into ministry, it was real. And my Lord, my Savior, wanted me to set the mask aside and realize that Scripture's truths, in their time and place in history, were the very breath I took and the insight I was given and the ways that God blesses us all, so that no matter what our week holds, no matter how many days we have with each other, no matter how much humor it takes just to be ourselves, God's at work in and through us. Precious in Christ's sight, created by God, sent by God. There's a spirit in holy places and holy people. When my plane landed on holy ground, known as Israel on a map, I was clutching my passport. And as the wheels released on that runway, so did my grip. because this Waxahachie girl was home. Every land, every time, every place, every people made holy. Not only so that we can serve others, but because in our worship service we are renewed. Because God believes in self-serve. And there's an invitation that your cup might overflow. There's a sacred space that is safe for your tears. And a courage from conviction. Sometimes I can't resist the rhyme, but it addresses your fears. No dark mine he's faced touches the light of Christ. And my family may never be the same, but we are as we have always been, imperfect, relying on Christ. Because we believe now is a season of service. We will worship, we will heal, we will hope, we will serve. For ours is a God of love, and love never dies. I knew you when I walked in these doors this morning, but you didn't know I needed you. And now you know my sorrow. Do you know how much your sorrow means to me? More importantly, do you know your tears, your fears, your promise, and your potential are needed in a season of service? There is work to be done, and we are fed, loved, and ready. Let me add it. Hallelujah. Amen.
Stand together as we affirm our faith.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of God's blessings. May we receive God's tithes and our offerings.
My brothers and sisters, this is the joyful feast for the family of God. As our invitation, I briefly give you happy memories of my Maggie. As a child, her wispy blonde hair gave her the appearance of a dandelion. And when cousins and sisters with their husbands would gather at my folks for Thanksgiving, before she could reach that buffet, I heard her gruff little voice say, "Hey, who put the orange stuff on the marshmallows?" And sure enough, she'd managed to scrape all baked marshmallows off of the sweet potatoes. And I don't think her parents found it as amusing as I did. I could not find her 5 minutes later until I went to a back bedroom where my mother had set a table and chairs for children and the tea set. It was so holy. I felt so special to be there with my Maggie. So I sat with the pretend napkin on my lap as she poured and I drank. And I joyfully looked at her thinking, this is an amazing Aunt Polly moment, right? And I said, Maggie, this is the best pretend tea I've ever had. And that pitcher came slamming down. She put a fist on her bony hip and she said, Aunt Polly, I served you Dr. Pepper. This is the holiest of family meals. It's not our table. It is set and there is room at the table until every knee shall kneel. So holy, we don't fully understand what we receive, but it heals us, it connects us, it feeds us and sends us. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the morning, God, you took creation and flung it to the far corners of chaos, naming the stars twinkling in the night, shaping deserted places for prayers, feeding all the creatures in the fields. You longed to walk with those created in your image so we would not be weary. But we listened to the boasting of death as it proclaimed sin's opportunities. You sent the prophets who cried out, haven't you been listening? Don't you realize what God is trying to do for you? But we continued to delight in sin. So having created all things, you became the one thing we needed, our Savior. With those so weary we cannot take another step, with those revived by your grace and your hope, we lift our praises to you now and forever.
Holy are you, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son. He became weak, so the power of the world would be shattered. He became poor, so we might be filled with the riches of your grace. He went to that deserted place we call the grave, so death might be knocked off its pedestal, as you breathe new life into his spirit. As we search for him in our time, as we would proclaim the gospel, may we find that mystery we call faith.
Christ is God. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Please be seated. Here is that bread, which though broken, can strengthen the powerless. Here is that cup, which though emptied, can fill the weary with hope. Pour out your spirit not only on these gifts, but we, your children, gathered around the table, and on those who have not yet found their way. We come bone tired, So make us bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Feed us with your hope and joy, so we proclaim your kingdom to everyone we meet. And when the day comes together with all of your children around the feast of the Lamb, we join hands and dance around the table, singing your praise forever and ever, even as together we now pray the prayer of our Lord, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, my friends, on the night of his arrest, our Lord and Savior gathered in the upper room with those closest to him. He took the bread. After blessing, giving thanks for it, he broke it and he offered it to them, saying, Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. In the same way, he took the cup and he said, This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood shed for the remission of sins. Every time you drink of this cup and eat of this bread, do so in remembrance of my love for you. Love that sound. I don't know if Jesus had such a cool picture. Or such helpful post-it notes. Would God's elders please come forward? Oh, not yet. Are y'all figuring out why sometimes people go, Pastor Polly, you're not one of those that makes us feel like we need to be perfect? I am here so you can be really glad when Cherry gets back.
Thank you.
May we join our voices and hearts together in prayer.
Send us into your world, God.
No matter your season of life, remember that life and faith are seasonal, love and faith eternal. Go with worship, self-love devoted to God in Christ, and love of all with service to all. May the love of God and the peace of our Lord and Savior and that communion, the holy fellowship of that Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Alleluia. Amen.